It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, Jet Lacey on the board, and my wife Donna in there making signs. You know, we're doing a bunch of signs getting ready for this weekend because we got to, you know, we're going to fill the weekend. You know, it starts Thursday night. We got the premiere, a theatrical premiere of For Liberty. How the Ron Paul Revolution Watered the Withered Tree of Liberty. And that'll be at a movie theater right by Arizona State University campus. And then the following day, Dr. Paul comes in late in the morning, Friday, and then he goes straight over to the University of Arizona on Hayden Lawn there. And it's a gathering place, kind of the center campus. And there's already been over 600 students that have confirmed RSVP'd they're going. I guess nobody's going to class. So they'll get to hear that. Then there'll be a book signing and other things. And Friday night, we have the Freedom Summit pre-summit debate. Do we replace the United States Constitution with nothing? That'd be an interesting debate. You know, that's something I want to hear what these guys had to say about it, because we got law professors and sitting judges, economists, you know, experts on secession. I mean, you know, dang, founder of the Libertarian Party. You know, this is, you know, we're going to get a perspective. That'll be a DVD you want to get. Then we have that same night, Dr. Paul is doing, you know, I don't know. He was roped into doing some kind of fundraising, $250 a plate, go meet, shake hands with Ron Paul thing. Yeah, that's a GOP whatever. Yeah, that's their thing. Then we have Saturday morning, he'll be speaking at Arizona State University. They got their Campaign for Liberty, the local chapter, and so on. He'll have something there. And then straight from that, he runs over to the Freedom Summit. Well, he'll give a late morning speech. And then, before he goes home, he's going out and doing a street action, a street wave with all, you know, all the activists here. That's one of their big things, man. They just, you know, whenever, hey, you know what? We're not doing anything. Let's run out to the corner with our signs. And that has, you know, a big impact, not only on, you know, the people that see it, but on their morale. A lot of people criticize, that's just a waste. What are you? I can't believe. What are you wasting your time with doing that? And it's their time to waste. And they have such fun doing it. I tell you what, enough that they do it all over the country, all the time, for years. And I tell you why. A lot of people, they don't understand, certainly the media doesn't. It's because they suck. They just bypass it. You said, you know what? I want to go talk to 1,000 people today. I want to go stay on the freeway overpass, talk to 100,000 people today. Because you won't. You don't. So, heck with you. We're going out on the overpass. Well, they try and stop them, and they, you know, the man will come up and try and make up something that you can't. And depending on where you are, it's different depending on what kind of overpass it is, what city you're in, county, state. But, you know these guys, they learn the law and they challenge it. I don't think it means what you think it means, Mr. Police State Man. Okay. Well, they go, well, you will respect my authority. And we go, well, we'll respect the law. What does it say? Well, I don't know, but dang it, I got a badge. This attitude is really starting to. And what we're going to do today, we're going to get caught up on all the news. I am Freedom's Phoenix. I mean, it's just so much stuff's been building up. You just need to know what's coming. Did you know that they voted to split Jerusalem? Oh, didn't know that, did you? Oh, and Jesse Ventura's coming back. Conspiracy TV. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Police, stop my car. Police, stop my car. The police made me stop. Walk a straight line and blow a balloon up.
It's Chet Lacy Show. You know, and I have no idea what that's saying. But anyway, we're gonna start playing some Christmas music. I got my wife. I went shopping and I got my wife Christmas carols of the old school. We got some Dean Martin and Bing Crosby and Nat King Cole and stuff. We'll start putting that in. It's time. Man, we just, chilling. It's the holiday season. My wife loves holiday season. And this year, we, our kids are grown and so on. It's kind of moving over my oldest daughter's house and taking advantage of her home, and she's really enjoying it. Everybody, they're going over making, started with Thanksgiving, making pumpkin pie and all kinds of goodies. And one of the things, what was interesting, I didn't do it this year, but usually every year that I've been on the radio, I would do Thanksgiving, and I don't think I did Christmas, but I'd do the holidays, because what happens is I get to stay away from the kitchen. I'm always getting my hand slapped. So I just, all right, fine. So when I get done, I know when I come back, it's all ready. And this year, I didn't even have something to pick in because it wasn't at my house. Dang it. But the thing that I wanted to, we need to relax. Just be chilling and stuff. We need to make sure that we enjoy the season, because it what we have is an opportunity for us just to count our blessings, because things are going to get very interesting. But, for people that aren't ready, for people that have, not prepared, for people that don't understand what's coming, for people that don't know which way to step off the track. I mean, if there's a train coming and you're standing on the track, you don't know which way to go, you could just step on another track. You're not seeing what's coming behind you. You could be stepping towards it. You can just be stepping back. It's not going to make any difference, a nanosecond difference of when you're going to die because the train hit you. You got to know which way to go. Now, I tell you, the default way to step is less control. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? Whenever you're confounded by something you don't understand, I'm going, okay. Well, let me tell you what I know. In the end, in the long run, and oftentimes the short run, more freedom is going to make it better. So I raise my hand on that one. Now, as things are changing, think about it. We are in the end of 2009. We're almost 2010. Heck, I remember sitting in grade school, sitting there going, how old will I be when it's 2000? How old will I be when it's 2010? How old will I be? And I'm looking, I'm going, dang, man, I'm going to be that old. Ew, I'm not going to be able to enjoy that. And I'm enjoying it more now than ever. So I'm going, okay, it's good. So I'm all good. Well, things have changed. Just in the past, since 2000, we were, on a spiral. I got involved in all this stuff in 88, started really becoming aware. And then within a few months, it became very clear to me that there was an entire reality that we were being shielded from. We were cattle, and I got it. And I'm like, whoa, how do you break this? Well, it was before the internet and so on. You do kind of stunts and so on. You get your government number, your lawsuit or your number for filing initiative or running a campaign or something, so that the media had an excuse to cover you. Now, if you're doing something like, something great, wonderful, fantastic, like the Freedom Summit, that's why we always go to the street and we have our own email and internet, all that kind of stuff. Nobody calls and talks to you. I had lunch with Charles Goyette yesterday, and think about this. This is how pervasive this thing is. Excuse me. This is how pervasive this thing is. Charles just released a month ago the Dollar Meltdown. It is already on the New York Times bestseller list. It's being translated into Korean and Chinese, and not a single. Now, he's been on some cable news, and he's done a little bit of a bunch of talk radio and all that kind of stuff, because we know how to get into that, but not a single review of his book in any publication. Any written publication whatsoever will not go on record even acknowledging that the book exists, other than it gets printed, it's on the New York Times bestseller list. Let me tell you a little story. Reuters was interested. They call. The girl writes the article. She spends over a week's time. She calls and, clarifies some things and, four different interviews, kind of, talking about this and what about that and so on. Because somebody's really drilling. Yeah, well, make sure you find out this or ask about that or what does he mean by that? And they get it all done. She calls him yesterday morning and said, Reuters killed the story. They're not going to do it. And he's like, yeah, well, I'm not really shocked, but I'm wondering why. What was the reason they gave? None. Nothing. Don't get to talk about it. Why? The end is nigh. I mean, really nigh. Whatever that means. It's really, really nigh. It'd be capitalized nigh. Because there is so much. The alternative news is taking over. They have to be getting a beachhead somewhere. They have to be thinking about somehow they're going to be able to get you back onto their plantation to pay attention, to do something. We're going to have, something. I mean, where are you going to get it? National Enquirer? They're going to made you look. Tiger Woods having an affair, made you look, and then we're going to tell you something about something. And we have on Freedom's Phoenix today. Yep, there it is. Tiger Woods, Randy Ricochet, he writes every now and then. He's been doing a lot more here lately, but he has, it's called Death of 1,000 Paper Cuts. And he's out in New York City, and he's been off and on writer for Freedom's Phoenix for years. And it is the Oprah stories. I mean, seriously. It is the, just the kind of, I'll give you an example. If you want to make it in traffic, you want to get a lot of traffic to your page. I've been in media. I know how it works. I could quadruple the traffic on Freedom's Phoenix as long as I get, detailed stories about Britney Spears' new belly button ring. You think I'm kidding? I tell you, one of my most popular stories, I think the first day we put it up, it got 20,000 downloads. One story. You know what it was? It was on the bacterial level of restaurant water compared with just the water or if they put a lemon slice in it. That was it. Because of the bacteria from your hand and reaching into that lemon slice thing and all that all day, and they put the lemons in there and they cut them up and they put the lemons in your drink and so on. They gauged how much bacteria was in a cup of water without lemon slice, with lemon slice. They go, oh, my goodness, look at you. That got 20,000 downloads in one day. We call them Oprah stories, okay? So do I do a bunch of those? I know how to do. I can put all this kind of crap up there all the time. Well, that's what Randy kind of does anyway. So we put Randy's stuff up. But I'm telling you, this is that. Does that accomplish what we want? This is what we find out. You'll get a lot of people that will come in, but they're so far from understanding what we're doing and getting the information that their comments kind of, start going off, the deep end. You have letters to the editor that, do I put this up or not? Like one today, I had a gentleman praising some woman on her book, doesn't cite the book, it puts his phone number on there, call me, and something about he's from Haiti or something. Do I put that up? I don't even know what it's about. I'm like, yeah, whatever. It could be freaking code for all I know. Because that's what they used to do. There was code. They'd be in the classified section, New York Times or something. Heck, in the Untamed Consequences, the book, that's exactly how they communicated. So I'm going, do I do that? There's a lot of decisions you got to make on this stuff. And I try and keep my decisions down to a bare minimum and let anybody, pretty much do what they want. But it gives a flavor to the site. We make sure that we get a lot of the good stuff in there, but some of the stuff you're not going to see on the lamestream media, like Jesse Ventura, the conspiracy theory, okay? And they're calling the show Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura, which premieres on December 2nd at 10 p.m. That's tomorrow. Ventura and his team of researchers take on a number of curious conspiracies and postulate if the terrorist attack on 9/11 was an inside job, or if the mysterious high-frequency active auroral research program, HARP, complex in rural Alaska has the power to create tidal waves and control minds. Well, it has the power to do something, or it wouldn't build it. I don't know what it does, but, you know, I got some thoughts, or what other people's thoughts are, but, I mean, dang, they put a bunch of money into that bad boy, put a lot of energy into the atmosphere for something. Star Pulse spoke. Now, Star Pulse is a website that, you know, they kind of track celebrities and see what interesting things they're doing. Spoke to Governor Ventura about developing the show, his conversation with Fidel Castro, and if the government is even capable of pulling off such elaborate stunts. Well, if they can, they are. And I want you to know that. Now, if they can get away with it and keep it secret long enough, I don't know. Now, Jesse, they go on and ask questions. So you want to read about that, you just go to freedomsphoenix.com. Now, to watch the show, it's going to be tomorrow night. Hopefully it's on free. It's on True TV. TRU TV, I guess it is here. And what happens, we're going to tape it. I want to watch it. Are you? Heck yeah. See what the man has to say. Because we've had him here, and he knows what's what. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and kiddies listen.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, where, you know, that's all we get is dreams of a white Christmas. You know, it did snow a couple of times. I remember it was like 86, and then not too many years ago, it was like 2002, 2003, around in there. Because remember, my kids, they went up North Phoenix here, Cave Creek area, probably about 20 miles north of Central Phoenix. All of a sudden, it snowed a little bit, and then they called their friends. They go, yeah, there's a bunch of snow on the ground up here. So they all jumped in their car about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and just headed up there. You know, they just had a jacket on, no gloves. No, they froze their little butts off out there playing in the snow because, they, you know what I mean, it's like a treat for us. Everybody gets out. You'd see people, a traffic jam of cars going out to the mountains with their cameras. You know, this is Arizona Highway Stuff, which is a famous magazine, all the beautiful scenery here in Arizona. And, man, you want to get a swirl cactus with snow on it. You know, that's like hunting for a dodo bird, you know. So they have a lot of fun. And maybe we'll get, you know, global warming. It's never going to snow here again. But it's getting cold everywhere. I know. What are you going to do when it starts getting cold, Al Gore? What do you do then? Climate Gate, that's becoming a big, big, big deal. We're going to do a show on that. I have some leads on some people. I mean, you know, who do you talk to? You know, I mean, who really, is there an expert in there on that? You know, there's some people I think that are interesting and entertaining and informed, and, you know, we'll get in the middle of it, but we're doing some research, and you find out that a lot of these guys, man, they just begging to be on your show, tell you all about climate change, and they're professors of this, that. All of a sudden, now they don't want to talk to you. Yeah. Hey, you know, I'd like to do that show. No. Oh, really? Why? You search the database. Hackers went in to, different organizations, universities, and it kind of sparked into a whole bunch of other stuff. But you get that, and you just put it in a searchable database on the internet, and you start putting in these guys' names, and boom, there they are. And if they're using a handle or something, you find out what their email was, then you can get even more. Boom, more stuff. You know, I'd like to have, what did you mean when you said this? And twist, when we massaged the data here, or we were able to manipulate, you know, blah, 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 or we chose to discard yada, yada. I mean, whatever were you talking about? I don't want to play. Okay. No, you don't want to play. It's all good. You know, I understand. You know, then a lot of things are happening that, you know, I got to raise the hand, you know, can I not care thing. Okay, and here's one of the things am I allowed not to care? The European Union will endorse splitting Jerusalem, and I'm sure people in Jerusalem couldn't give a rip what the European Union want to endorse. European Union officials are expected to call for Jerusalem to be divided so it can be the capital of both Israel and a Palestinian state. Haaretz got its hands on – now, Jerez is a publication – got its hands on a draft document prepared by Sweden, which currently holds the European Union presidency. That seems to imply Europe would recognize a unilateral declaration of statehood by the Palestinians. Israel is trying to prevent the whole thing from going forward, but sources close to the negotiations believe it is virtually inevitable. The draft document says that genuine peace won't be achieved unless there is a way to resolve the status of Jerusalem as capital of two states. The document also states the European Union won't recognize any changes to the 1967 borders unless the Palestinian Authority also approves them. Wow. Okay, taking a side here. Israeli officials say Sweden is pushing an anti-Israel agenda that will ultimately make Europe irrelevant in the peace process. Well, that's an interesting statement. You know, you're irrelevant unless you're on our side. You know, so, you know, am I allowed not to care? I just want to know. Am I allowed not to care? And I certainly want to say, is any of my money going to any of this stuff? Either side? Of course it is. It's ouch quitted both sides. We play. I just, you know, we're done. You guys figured out. European Union wants to take this on as their thing. Vaya con Dios, man. Go with God. It's all y'all's now. We're done. We're out of here. We're taking our money. Because what's going to happen? If the European Union's going to side with the Palestinian state, Israel going to keep getting its money from the United States, and then it's going to be the United States versus Europe on the Palestinian-Israel thing? Oh, is that what they want? Is it a distraction? Is there another war coming? Is there an opportunity for what? We're going to Israel's going to go nuke Iran, and then it's going to be this pretend distraction back and forth, ouch, quit it thing. Really? You see how this stuff starts? This is how it starts. It's just a game. And they always say, you know, what if they had a war and nobody came? You know, what if the soldier said, oh, really? Well, that's good. You know, I'm good. I'm going to stay here. Do the Aaron Watata thing. No, nope, not going. I'm just going to stay here. He was a lieutenant that said, nah, I'm not deploying. I'm not going to lead my men into an unconstitutional, undeclared BS war. Not doing it. Yeah, put me in jail, whatever. Not playing. What if there was a war and nobody came? What if there was a conflict and nobody cared? You know, the people there care, but it gets amped up. You know, we instigate this stuff. Stop. Stop. Just stop.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy soul.
That's how we do. That's how we roll here in Phoenix. Because today I had to go up to the hotel, the resort that we're doing the Freedom Summit at. You know, for a meeting with the audiovisual guys and all that kind of stuff. So I get dressed up. I put on a tie. And you know what? I'm sweating, man. It is hot here in Phoenix. Still, if you look at it, I tell you what, I can do that right here, right now. What is the temperature here in Phoenix, Arizona? It is, I bet you, what are we now? We're at 10:30 in the morning, and I'll bet you it's already 70, 80 something degrees. So let's take a look here. My thing. Take a guess. You're in there. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Oh, it says only 60 something degrees. Pfft. You know, no, it's not. And I'm not that chubby. But anyway, so we're having a good time here. You should come to Arizona IA because we enjoy it very much this time of year. We'll be complaining in the summer, but you know, we're going that and that and then this time. The Treasury will increase pressure on lenders to modify mortgages. Okay. Why? I mean, that's the headline. You know, I got it from Slate. They have a page that kind of does the headline stuff. And I'm going, okay, I get this in my email. I don't even want to look at it. They're going to force. Okay, let's see what it says. Increasingly frustrated by the failure of mortgage servicers to permanently modify distressed mortgages, the Obama administration said it would be increasing pressure on the lenders to make sure they've appropriately implemented the $75 billion government program that is supposed to reduce the number of foreclosures. The Treasury Department says that while mortgage servicers have extended trial modifications to more than 650,000, they've been moving too slowly and turning them into new permanent mortgages. In order to improve the numbers, the Obama administration will be sending financial SWAT teams to keep a watch over the six largest mortgage servicers. Okay. Doing stimulus, are you? Is how this works? You know, think about it. I mean, if you're a mortgage, you got a guy with some money and everything, how willing are you to enter into any kind of a government program? Because once you do, you know, then you subject yourself to SWAT teams. And it doesn't work for, you know, they'll modify and change and be nice, you know, over about 10, 15-year period. And then you have institutional non-memory. And you start doing the same stuff again. They'll entice you and you'll get your, you know, your green fees and your escorts and whatever. And you'll start signing stuff and CEO of a large company that says that thou shalt. And then you're forced to do it. Then you got all kinds of incentives and you do it. And then they suck you right back in again. Fannie and Freddie Mae, all those mortgages, who do they belong to now? Is it government? Are we the Soviet Union? And how fascist is it when you have what's left of the private mortgage industry that's being screwed, that you have the government coming in saying what you have to do? Well, you know, you signed a deal. You got the money. You got some kind of program that you wanted. Well, what did you think was going to happen? Now, they're putting this pressure on SWAT teams, you know, going on these six largest mortgage servicers, which handle about 85% of outstanding mortgages. Woo! The servicers will have to issue two reports daily on their efforts to turn trial modifications into permanent mortgages. The Washington Post details that the Treasury will be using a combination of public shame and monetary penalties to pressure the lenders. Public shame. The government's going to be shaming people? You know, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, wow, this is just so amazing to me that they're going to use public shame. We're going to shame people. And I'm going, whoa, these guys are rich. So, but that brings up something that Jet put up this morning, too. Here, let's find this. This is a good story. Blah, 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 blah. Now, what's happening is Goldman Sachs, the bankers, are arming themselves against a populist uprising. Okay? Now, this is good. This is good. Now, this is Bloomberg. All right? So, this is the financial paper. If America is circling the drain, well, Goldman Sachs has found a way to be that drain. And you think it's not going to piss people off? Oh, man, these guys are killing me. So what? Let's go ahead and go to the story. Now, this is Freedom Phoenix stuff, man. This is what, you know, we don't spend enough time on all the stuff on Freedom Phoenix, but it doesn't matter. See, I give you an example. If you really want to know what's going on, you go to Freedom Phoenix. FreedomPhoenix.com. There it is. There it is. There it is. Because it doesn't matter if you go and you see these stories and you don't understand it in the right context. I mean, that's what the show is about. That's why we have these conversations. That's why I drone on about, you know, the philosophical thing of, you know, the bumper sticker stuff. You know, some of the bumper stickers, real simple. You know, freedom good, government bad, 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 bad. I mean, it used to be one bad. Freedom good, government bad. And then it turned to like three bads when I first started doing my radio program. And I'm going, freedom good, government bad, bad, bad. You know, it was after, you know, 9/11 stuff and the war and all that stuff. Then you, all the Bush stuff started happening. Then the Obama administration, you know, we're up to five bads. Heck, well, you know, I mean, let's see if we can do seven. Freedom good, government bad, 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 bad. See how many bads you got to add. I mean, so somebody tells me some conspiracy theory. Ernie, did you know? You got to look at, did you know? And I go, what are you going to tell me? The government's, I got to add on another bad? Is that all you're doing? Like, okay, I'll add on another bad. I mean, you know what? How bad do they have to get before you're just going, hey, you know, never mind, man. You're done. Whatever. I'll do whatever I can to kind of avoid the left jackboot or the right jackboot or the jackboot on my throat party, you know. But other than that, I'm you know, I had a Berkeley guy, man. He was really on my case. And he was just hammering me. You know, well, you should just move. And he's the liberal. And I said, you know, wasn't it like 30, 40 years ago they were telling you that? Now you're in charge. You're saying you're not, you know, this not allowed the dissent thing. If that is your standard of your argument, you're not allowed to dissent, you leave. Well, that kind of tells you what kind of government you got and the weight of your argument, you know. So, I mean, dang. So now here's the story. I just wrote my first reference for a gun permit. My first reference. What does that mean? Said a friend who told me of swearing to the good character of a Goldman Sachs Group Incorporated banker who applied to the local police for a permit to buy a pistol. Oh, so you got to not only ask permission from the man, you got to get endorsements so you can defend. Seriously. Oh, whatever. You know, I guess New York. Okay. The banker had told this friend of mine that senior Goldman people have loaded up on firearms and are now equipped to defend themselves if there is a populist uprising against the bank. I called Goldman Sachs spokesman Lucas von Prague to ask whether it's true that Goldman partners feel they need handguns to protect themselves from the angry proletariat. He didn't call me back. The New York Police Department has told me that, as a preliminary matter, it believes some of the bankers I inquired about do have pistol permits. The New York Police Department also said it will be a while before it can name names. While we wait, Goldman has wrapped itself in the flag of Warren Buffett, with whom it will jointly donate $500 million, part of an effort to burnish its image and gain new Goldman clients. Goldman Sachs Chief Executive Officer Lloyd Blankfein also reversed himself after having previously called Goldman's greed God's work and apologized earlier this month for having participated in things that were clearly wrong. Doing God's work. They're doing God's work. You know what? Well, yeah, wow. One thing that's interesting to me, who's more likely to get a pistol? It's going to be Goldman Sachs execs. I mean, seriously. You know, these guys, you know, New York City, man. You think you can get just, you know, let's go down and buy me a gun in New York City. How easy is that? Not. So, and Bloomberg, what's his? And Bloomberg himself, mayor. That's a big thing, man. I got to close these gun show loopholes. He hired private investigators to go around the country and how these guys are selling stuff and trick them in and videotape and we're going to have gun control for everybody except Goldman Sachs. You see my point? It's an attitude. It's a philosophy. It's how we as individuals are seen. We're the rabble. We don't count. We're just the mechanism, the means, the cattle, the chattel, the sheep, the flock, the crop, the whatever. Of course, you got to have a number for everything and ask permission. You know, your livestock. How more poignant can you get than the bankers get to have their gun? And this is all preliminary, you know, whatever. You think there's some police chief that's not going to issue a gun permit, you know, for a Goldman Sachs guy to be able to protect himself? You think? Yeah, what do you think? You think? Oh, I'll tell you what. We'll go down there. Oh, yeah. Jet's saying they'll be dealing them out. I bet you they're for some cash. No. Want one? Guess how much that is. And they're talking about this. Now, in this second paragraph right after that, they're talking about, you know, jointly donate $500 million as part of an effort to burnish its image. Let me tell you what's part of that $500 million. I get my freaking gun permit. That's what it says. And is it their money? It's other people's money. Oh, it's to burnish our image. It's a burn shower image. How'd you find this? Where'd you get this? You were just looking, where'd that come up?
Yeah, I just go through the news. I have an RSS feed to the Matt Taibbi that did that big article on Goldman Sachs for Rolling Stone. And, you know, I have an RSS feed on my Google page for his blog, and it was up on that.
Wow, this is so, I mean, this kind of stuff that, you know, this is how Freedom's Phoenix works. You'll get some really cool stuff, you know, and somebody will see it for what it is and put it up. It wouldn't mean anything. That's why you have to understand. You know, most people will see that and they're going, yeah, I can do that. Or, the elitists, they get it. But they don't understand that the larger ramification of a story like this, there is them and there is us. You know what? Another bumper sticker. There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. So how does that apply to this? I just want to be left alone. Okay. They're not leaving me alone. Take my money, use the force of government to take, redistribute, take, put it in bucket of whatever pension something, then they get it, take it, and then what happens? Oh, you're not a, you know, you're not allowed to complain. You know, you don't like it, move. And they go, you know, I'm complaining. I'm in the streets complaining. You know what? I'm getting my AR-15. I'm complaining. And they go, oh, well, you can't have that, but we can protect ourselves against you. It's an attitude. There's a class level in government. It's like a social apartheid. You think apartheid is about, you know, black, white? No, it's about us, them. It's about those in charge and those who ain't. You know, this race thing, they keep trying to, this gender thing, this sexual orientation thing, this thing, there's always a thing. That's why libertarian philosophy is about the smallest minority is protected. I had Heidi Byrick on from Southern Poverty Law Center on my afternoon show last week. And we had her on the morning show here about 3 months ago. And I had her on last week. And she's off doing the story. And she wrote the militia piece kind of thing that she was working on and why she wanted to talk. And they understood. They kind of, you know, they softened it a little bit around and kind of, you know, but they still got to say what they wanted and do their reports to law enforcement. And we're very proud that they take our research and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah. You know, usually as an excuse to whatever, pull somebody over who's got a Ron Paul bumper sticker. But, you know, so what we did is I, you know, just talking. You know, I'm, you know, what's your attitude on various different things? And you know, what do you think about this and that? And it was very clear. She made many statements. I tried to, you know, I lost track of the thought, the one that she really got me. But the bottom line was this. There's us and there's you. And I'm going, who's us? The people that believe as individuals that the government was there to protect individual rights, they're the patriot militia bad guy. And she made some statements. This is one that was really interesting. She goes, well, are you advocating that they shouldn't follow the law? You know, if they get something written on a piece of paper and it says, and it got passed in New York City that says whatever, well, that's what's enforced. Unless it's law they don't like. I mean, you know, that's different. And the ultimate law, the Constitution, that's, you know, the fact that we're able to carry openly firearms here or even buy as many firearms as have been sold in just the last year. She is very, that's her job. She's director of special projects, you know. And I enjoy having her on. I enjoy, you know, because this is how you seed the matrix. You go in and you talk to these people and you give them something to think about. They gotta answer their own question. You gotta go, look, this is how I see it. I can understand. I don't have to change your mind. I'm not trying to convince you. I just want to convince you why I'm so convinced. You know, I just trying to explain to you so you understand why I'm so convinced. I'm not going to try and change your mind. I just want you to understand why, you know, all the evidence against your being able to change mine. You know, what's your argument? So I don't mind talking to these people, whatever, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, because they got, you know what? What do they got? Well, then we see another story here. Now, one of our reporters put this up. You know, I just go to see it as you do. We just go for it. I didn't even look at it. You know, I just go and find a graphic and put it up if they didn't have a graphic. And I go, oh, you want to say something, Jeff?
I just wanted to point out that the Bill of Rights is part of the U.S. Code. You know, it is part of the law. And no other law that's written can supersede it.
Yeah, but who gets to decide that?
Yeah, not us. Not the us part of the us versus them.
Yeah, no, the Supreme Court. Now, Butler Schaefer is one of the speakers at the Freedom Summit, and he makes that point all the time. He goes, of course it's constitutional. Every law we got on the books is constitutional. It's constitutional as hell. I go, really? Why? He goes, because they haven't ruled it unconstitutional. It is constitutional until the Supreme Court rules it unconstitutional. So who gets to decide what's constitutional or not? Supreme Court. Because that's the way it works. Hey, you know, sit in my law class, boy. Explain it to you. So I'm going, yeah, and we had this many times that legislators, Congress would pass a law like McCain-Feingold. They go, well, that's up to the courts to determine whether that's constitutional or not. I mean, they actually say that. Well, we'll leave that to the courts. Wow, and they would get away with saying stuff like that, but who would report or check them? We do on freedomsphoenix.com, and it's available to you. I'll show you how it works here in just a little bit. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Very nice. I like Christmas music. Yeah, it's all good. And you know, to heck with all these guys complaining. Yeah, that's another thing. You go to the mall and stuff. A lot of times they don't have any Christmas music anymore. It's offensive or something. They whatever. You know, individual stores you can do whatever you want, but these chains and you go into malls, it's like, oh no, we don't prefer one over the other. We just want you to buy. Bye, 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 bye. Well, they're not buying that much. I went this weekend, and they had probably half of the Target. I went, my wife got me some sandals. Can you just get me some sandals? You know, mine broke or something. I'm tired of having to put on tennis shoes just to walk in the backyard or something. And she got me some flip-flops, but they didn't fit. They were a little too small. So I went back to trade them in. And I'm thinking, yep, it's going to be an afternoon thing. I'm going on Saturday, the day after Black Friday. And I'm like, oh, yay, you know, this is going to be fun. So I just wanted to see what, kind of walk up and down the aisles. And I got my Secret Santa. So I'm going to, you know, our family, we kind of do the Secret Santa thing. So I just go in, and I'm going to find something, be cool. And, I mean, there were more, just as many employees as there were customers. I'm like, dang, this is, I don't care what they say. I went to several malls. I went to Sam's Club. I went to, and there was never more than two deep at any line. Now people just weren't that many people shopping. And I'm going, not necessarily a bad thing, you know, for us. I'm like, yeah, you know, but I don't care what they're saying. Whatever their stimulus means, it's not being showed in retail. I can guarantee you that. So I'm and that's one thing they said to me. Yeah, sales rose 0.5%. I'm going, 0.5%? Woo! It's Christmas time. I'm like, oh my goodness, which is fine, man. Just let it go. And we report all this stuff. And what's the context? You know, that's kind of the point I wanted to make today, is that if you don't really understand what's happening or the philosophy that drives our economy and human nature and all, these stories just send you, they don't oftentimes have to convince you. It's almost as effective just to confuse you, just to have you be confused. But what if you could have a clean definition of, I'm not even trying to direct you. I just want you to know what they're saying. You know, and what your responsibility is to, you know, call BS on it yourself and give you the capacity to share what you see. So we have a lot of writers and we have a lot of reporters. They do this. And Jet wrote something, you know, one of the guys was complaining about, I didn't know what the story was. There was something about something. I mean, it's like, I can't believe you put that up there. Well, you know, I get these emails every now and then. I say, look. You know, you got something to say about it. It's called the comment section right there. You can do right in the headline. It says email to a friend. It says letter to the editor on that particular article. You make a comment on that article. That's why we have the mid page now. Instead of it goes straight to the article, it goes to where it has all the comments that people made on that posting. So you police yourselves. So Jet, you know, wrote this thing. What is it you had to say? Pull it up. You had something to say about one time.
Well, this was just over the weekend. Someone posted an article. Someone that I don't know on Freedom's Phoenix says, Obama orders 1 million U.S. troops to, quote, prepare for civil war. And it's by this person, Sorsha Fall, that's supposed to be from this Russian, you know, like
Russian Times or something like that.
No, an academic. And it's total misinformation. I've looked it up, you know, and the thing is that this guy said, why does Freedom's Phoenix post up this kind of crap? And I'm like, you know, Freedom's... I don't know if we have time to read it.
No, we'll get into it when we come back. But it's, you know, what do we not say, and how do we do that? Well, we're going to find out when we come back. I got a bunch of other stuff, the headlines that we have. But you got responsibility to think for yourself, and you can help your fellow man at the same time. We'll be right back.